Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. It's always our delight to have you come on board. We look forward to this broadcast and our dialogue and discussion with you on the issue that we cover each day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of political ideological bent. It's not a matter of denominational dogma or some philosophical rhetoric. It's based on the authority of Scripture. We're going to be talking about today false doctrines. What about tithing? What about tithing? Never will forget, a number of years ago, a well-known businessman in our city loved the Lord, but when he got saved and heard the preacher talk about tithing, he thought it was the word T-I-T-H-E. He called it tithing. And so he said, if I'm going to be saved, I want to be a tither. And he made it a point that he did so in his lifetime during the life of his ministry through his business that he was running here in the city until he went on to be with the Lord. We're talking about that in just a moment. But as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Scripture say? It's the truth book. It is the book of all books. It is the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's in John 8:31-32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me commend to you the truth book. It's the Bible. Perhaps you grew up singing in Sunday school and vacation Bible school or singing in your home as a child. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And that's what I want us to understand as we look at the Word of God each and every day as to what God will have us to do, whether it be socially, economically, societally, politically, spiritually, biblically, theologically, doctrinally. It is looking at the truth of the Word of God. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made the statement, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And so that's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's good theology. I think it's good doctrinal understanding that we need to stand on the truth, defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional lawn care equipment and equipment for the lawn for the homeowner. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That intersection is definable and very, very clear benchmark, about 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying at the top of that flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we introduce this broadcast today, I want to take a moment to make a special emphasis on the fact that, as you know, this week we lost a mighty voice, the voice for conservative truth in America, Rush Limbaugh. Rush's voice has ceased to be heard across the airways of the radio broadcast each day, but the truth that he espoused shall not be silenced. As America, ladies and gentlemen, continues to go headlong into the abyss of chaos and confusion, we must never forget Russia's call to stand for truth and to fight for the American freedom that we've known so long. And so let me say to you, ladies and gentlemen, just as Rush stood for the truth and financial and freedom in the political arena, let me say to you today, we must stop standing for false stock, standing for false doctrine, and standing for things that are antithetical to the Word of God. We must stand for the truth of the Word of God, because denominational confusion and chaos, I don't know how to put it other than just it causes multitudes of immature Christians to remain in a state of confusion and biblically, doctrinally, unable to really know what to say and what to do based on the authority of the Scripture. Across denominational lines, ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole array of false teachings, false doctrines. This is the reason, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today on the microphone Pastor Glenn Davis. Brother Davis drove through, was it Noah's flood this morning?
It seemed pretty much like it.
Praise to get God. Here, and I'm thankful that we can be together on this broadcast today. But we're talking about today biblical truth, doctrinal truth, theological truth. And let me just, before we take our first caller, take a moment to basically introduce, just by subject, not by delving into them, several of the doctrines that divide, several of the doctrines, theological truths that are biblically sound, but when misconstrued, misunderstood, misapplied, it becomes false doctrine. Salvation, is that a volitional choice to invite Jesus into your heart, or is it predestination? Is it where the philosophy is and the theological thought is that God has elected you, chosen you, predestined some to heaven and some to hell? What is it? Either free will, volitional choice to say yes to Jesus, or is it predestination? Salvation, not only salvation, but baptism. Is baptism by sprinkling, or is it by immersion? Does baptism save? Does baptism wash away sins? We've covered that on this broadcast. Who is Jesus? That's one of the major theological doctrinal quagmires that you get into. Some say that it's not the triunity of the Godhead, that it's simply Jesus only. Was Jesus 100% God or 100% man? Or was he both? Was he half God and half man? Some say that Jesus was not really God. He was simply a good example for us to live by. What about the doctrine of hell? The doctrine of hell. Is hell real? Is it a place of fire and brimstone? It's the Greek word that's called Tartaros, which means fire and brimstone. It is a place where the fire is never quenched, the Scripture says. Is it Rob Bell, that wrote a book back in 2011 called Love Wins? Rob Bell simply is one of the espousers of false doctrine, theologically wretched doctrine. Rob Bell is part of the emergent church movement. And Rob Bell says that hell is simply the last stopping point before we get to heaven. Now, that's antithetical to anything that Jesus taught in the Scripture. What about speaking in tongues? This is doctrinally perhaps one of the most divisive and dangerous false doctrines in Christianity today. Does the Bible really teach a heavenly language that no one else can understand? Does God not understand any language on the face of the globe that we speak today? Or do we have to have some special language for God to understand it? What about free will or predestination? Calvinism teaches that it's predestination. What about Christian stewardship? What about what does the Scripture say about Christian stewardship? How should we give him? What should we give him? Dollars and cents, our time, talent, treasure, and testimony. What does the Scripture say about what day we worship on? Is it Saturday or Sunday? What about the Lord's Supper? Do we take on holiness when we take on the cup and drink the cup and take on the bread? But finally, and there's multitudes of others, I'm just doing a quick blurb overview, getting to the point of where we want to go today as we talk about the subject of tithing. Tithing. What does tithing mean? Should Christians tithe? Is tithing an Old Testament doctrine that ought not to be done, ought not to be taught in the New Testament? What about tithing? I'm looking at an article that says the danger of false doctrine. Some Christians think we shouldn't focus on doctrine as long as we maintain a vibrant Christian community in the church. Further, this article says, as some speak, well, we shouldn't be engaged in the study of doctrine at all. because all it does is end up in controversy and divisions and things like that. But that idea would be utterly foreign to the thinking of the Apostle Paul, because Paul always saw an unbreakable relationship between a true understanding of the Word of God and righteous relationships to him. Further, the article says, and speaking of Paul, says, and he was very much concerned as the church was beginning to grow in its original setting that the invasion of false teachers would destroy the church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's something we ought to be concerned about today. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you that who come in privately, that means secretly, surreptitiously, and bring in damnable heresies. Why is this so, ladies and gentlemen? The Bible says, and the scripture is the Apostle Paul further teaches in Timothy. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure, that is, put up with sound, solid, pure doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. That means myths, fiction, not biblical truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to discuss the doctrine of tithing. What is tithing? How should we give? Why should we tithe? Is it Old Testament? Is it under the law? Many, Pastor Davis will say, tithing is under the Old Testament law.
Amen.
And
amen.
We're not under law. We're under grace, and therefore we're not obligated to tithe. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Along the line of, by the way, happy to be on the air with my dad, the Black Robe Patriot, for a few moments. That New Testament text there in Matthew, where it's a chapter of woes, it seems like for those that think that tithing is not a New Testament principle, that would be wiped out by Jesus' own words, where he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. So literally, you have Jesus' own words. So for anybody that's, you know, red letters, the only ones that count, by the way, they're all red letters, folks.
That's right.
Every bit of it is God breathed. But for any of those that are hung up on just the words that Jesus actually, well, Jesus actually advocated for tithing. So don't ever assume it's just an Old Testament thing.
Found in Matthew 23:23, and also in Luke chapter 11, verse 42, where Jesus commended, that's the term I always use, commended biblical tithing. He commended it. And yet people say that it's not there. By the way, just as a point of reference, many of our listeners may not understand the Black Robe Regiment. Talk about that for a moment, just as a side note for our listeners to understand, and I will share with people. You can go online and look up by way of the internet, Black Robe Regiment. Look at the organizational structure. Look at the state of Florida and see who's listed as one of the Black Robe Regiment members in the state of Florida. Talk with us about that for just a moment, then we'll get back on the subject.
That goes back about 250 years. King George there in Great Britain tagged pastors here in the colonies as the Black Robed Regiment, all those black robe preachers that were preaching from the Word of God and also pointing out the tyranny of King George. If you look at the 33-count indictment in the Declaration of Independence, where each of the offenses of the Crown were listed and then the separation was announced, point by point by point, those were preached in the pulpits within the colonies before the United States was ever formed, before the Declaration was ever signed, before the Constitution was ever birthed. Pastors in America led the charge to freedom. They knew how very important freedom was. Patrick Henry was not a preacher, but he went to defend three Baptist ministers that preached in the name of Jesus Christ and were put on trial for such. I mean, he rode over 50 miles on horseback to defend those men. The aggression, from tyrannical aggression, always seeks to undermine your relationship with God. They can't have a higher power than themselves. Bureaucracy must be the highest power. The tyranny of a crown must be the highest power. They want to separate you from anything that is viewed as more powerful than they are. Secondly, they always seek to undermine your ability to defend yourselves. That's why if you step back in history, the Revolutionary War went hot. shots were fired when the shot heard round the world was fired, when the Redcoats, the Brits, came for the arsenals at Lexington and Concord. And it seems like we're reliving history today. The tyranny of bureaucracy has advanced and advanced and advanced, and a new black-robed regiment need be formed. And pastors like you need to stand and speak the truth in love from the Word of God and pronouncing those necessary judgments against a tyrannical bureaucracy that we see encroaching upon the church day by day by day. And it's getting worse, folks. It's getting more onerous.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted our listeners to understand that concept, because most that are not aware of history are not familiar with that, especially some of our younger generations today, not aware of what role the pastors played and the freedoms that we have today. Greg, I've got Pastor Davis with me today. Pastor Davis, we're talking about, as you know, the subject of tithing. Greg just brought up the fact that, as I call it, Jesus commending, that is placing his stamp of approval on tithing. What are some of the objections to tithing that you have heard, that you know of, that you see in the Christian community in general?
Amen. Well, first, I want to say good morning to everyone that is listening on today, my family, friends, loved ones, each of you. Brother Greg, amen. I thank God for you on this morning as well, coming in with us on today. And yes, Dr. Youngblood, what I have heard in the churches down through the years, number one, let's just say issues were created after some people read the Word of God and didn't get a full understanding of what the Word was saying.
That's right.
Actually, there is no issue or controversy in the Word of God. We create the issues.
That's right.
But what we need to first know and understand as people, I'm not going to say Christians right now. Christians should know better. If they know the Word of God, they should know better. But I want to draw the line right here between Christians and just common people that's outside of the Word of God.
Right.
If you know anything about God at all, and I understand that you don't ever get the full understanding of who God is and how he operates until you give your life over to him and you are born again.
Yes.
But if you know anything about God being the creator of all things, and all things already belong to him,
he owns it all.
Then we need to know and understand, Dr. Youngblood, that God doesn't want your money.
That's right. He doesn't need it.
Amen. We need to know, amen, as people, God doesn't want or need your money. It already belongs to him.
That's right.
Now, getting back on the Christian side of things, he made us stewards over these things. Mm-hmm. So now, if a man already owns something, how are you going to tell him what to do with something he already owns? Mm-hmm. But because he has entrusted you to be a steward over what he owns, then rightfully you ought to want to give something back to him. Now, if we love God, and if we love him like how we say we love him, and if we look at everything he has already given to us and all the benefits he overloads us with daily, according to the book of Psalms.
That's right.
We ought to want to give him something in return for what he's given us, because we can never pay God back for what he's done.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
But this is what's happened down through the years. People in the churches have not learned to really fully trust in God. Now, the question is not whether you can trust God, but can God trust you?
That's right. With what he gives us.
Amen. Now, if he can trust you and you have proven yourself trustworthy by doing what the Word of God says you ought to do with all of your possessions, then, Dr. Youngblood, you are in a perfect walk with him, because giving is a part of our walk with God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
In fact, it shows the heart, I believe.
Amen.
Pastor, hold on for a moment. Greg, I believe we have another caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, we may disagree on this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but tithing, I think, is similar to baptism in that Scripture encourages us to do it. Tithing is not required for salvation. 2 Corinthians 9:7 indicates to me that giving to the church is voluntary. It says, that scripture says, so let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I believe it honors God to tithe and give over and above the tithe, shows him that we reverence him and we worship him. So if you really love God, you're not going to have a problem with giving to the church.
You're exactly right. And let me touch on this, and for the balance of the broadcast, we're going to drill as deep as possible with the time that we have allotted. But you'll find in the scripture, it is commenced biblically, and in its commencing of giving, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week. So tithing, our giving should be planned. It should be personal. It says, let him lay aside every one of you. It should be prepared to lay by him in store, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 16, 2. It's proportionate as God hath prospered you. It's purposed, as I call it, because the purpose is giving, is that we give liberally, as you find in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. Our giving should be given cheerfully, according to the scripture. It should be gladly, according to what you just read, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. It should be giving, we should give thankfully that God has abundantly blessed us, according to the scripture. But it goes back further than that, brother. When it goes, we go back to the scripture, tithing is conceptualized biblically.
Amen.
And it's before the law was given. And I'll not have time to read all of the references, but Greg, you might want to elaborate on this while our caller's on the line. It is before the law is given. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, Greg, talk about that with Melchizedek and his giving, and did he tithe? And answer the question for our audience today, was that before or after the law?
It was before the law, and Melchizedek is a nice picture there, because he received offering from Abraham, correct?
Yes.
That's position. He's in a priesthood position, and of course that's very little said of Melchizedek, but we see Jesus in a comparison that, you know, his reign will be as Melchizedek. I think we've got a type there when we're looking at typology. I think we're looking at a type of Christ there. But it's before the law. And of course, as we analyze the law, law is to be our schoolmaster on the one front. So much of the negatives, if you will, the don'ts from the law, that there should be a schoolmaster. But for the believer in Christ, this gentleman has brought it out properly. If you love the Lord, you got no problem with obedience to the point of baptism. You have no problem with the obedience to the point of cheerful giving. So absolutely, hats off to you. I do agree.
Absolutely. So the point that I want to make, Pastor Davis, for our listener and for the caller today, the point that I want to make is we understand it's conceptualized in the scripture in the 14th chapter of Genesis with Melchizedek giving. But we also need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that tithing is commanded biblically.
Amen.
Pastor,
Amen.
If you've got it, read Leviticus 27:30. Leviticus 27:30, and then we'll let our caller answer a question or ask a follow-up question if you'd like to. Leviticus 27:30, read that for us.
Amen. It says here, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It says here, it is holy unto the Lord.
It is holy unto the Lord.
Amen.
It is, if it is God's, and God's said that it is, the tithe is his, the tithe is mine, saith the Lord. And by the way, Pastor, he's not just talking about dollars and cents there. All that there is, the tithe, T-I-T-H-E, a tenth belongs to him. And another subject that we can delve into at a later time. I believe when we get to heaven, all that will be in heaven will be a tithe of the human race.
Amen.
A tithe.
Amen.
Of everyone that God has created.
Amen.
So a lot of folks think they're saved, they're lost, and not saved at all, because the overwhelming majority of the population today on the face of the earth have never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, but a tithe will be his. And the point that I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is tithing is conceptualized biblically before the law was given.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So, Pastor Davis, one of the things that you've heard and I've heard is that, all you preachers talk about some money. And you just want us to live under the letter of the law. No, love supersedes the law. And if we love God, we need to give beyond the law that is set in the Old Testament, and giving a tithe was set in place before the law was given.
Amen.
Then I'm going to let Greg jump in for a moment. Here's an article that says, talking about Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he gave 36 parables. 16 of them had to do with our attitude toward money. 1 out of 10 verses in the New Testament deal with the attitude toward money. Verses about faith, about 500. Verses about prayer, about 500. Verses about money, over 2,000.
Amen.
In the Word of God. And the article says, remember the story Jesus gave of the widow's mite. The Pharisees were giving their large offerings, and the little lady gave two mites. Mm-hmm. That whole story has to do with our attitude toward money. If God's not interested in money, then why does he include this story in the Word? It talks about the unjust steward, this writer says, Luke 16. At the end of the story, Jesus said, if you have not been faithful with your money, how do you expect to be committed to the Lord's true riches? Commence him to commit his true riches. The whole story has to do with our attitude toward money.
Amen.
If God's not interested in money, then why did he include the story in the Word of God? Greg, how do you respond to that? A lot of people talk about that it's just churches interested in you. I have probably heard 1,000 times down through the 50-plus years in ministry that churches just interested in the money. Now, I want to ask the question, Greg, you can touch on it, and Pastor, you can touch on it. If it were not for the tithes and offerings, how would a church operate? I remember many years ago, we had a young man in the church, and we, on one particular Sunday, something came up in the message about tithing, and he said he wanted to meet with me, so we set a time. My wife and I went into his home, had coffee and refreshments with he and his wife, and he said, Pastor, he said, I thought companies like the power company provided free power for the church. I thought that businessmen provided free services for the church. I thought that the church didn't have to pay for anything. He said, that's the first time I've heard. And he was a relatively new Christian. First time he said, that's the first time I've heard that the only way a church can operate is off tithes and offerings. And I explained it to him and went to the scripture. He said, well, if that's what, this is what I like about that. He said, if that's what the Bible says, I want to be obedient from this point forward. I'm going to tithe.
Amen. That's a good Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise That's the God. Way it should be. It's Amen. What does the Word of God say. That's how we should view money. And anything that God gives us is what does the Bible say. How do we serve him with it? Greg, what are your responses to that?
Well, you know, if a man shows me his bank ledger, if he shows me his credit card statements, I can show him where his heart is. You know, biblically, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Right.
And a lot is spoken right there. I think years back it was an individual talking about getting a loan with the bank, and he had listed among his monthly expenses his tithe. And they said, well, you don't need to list this. You know, this will affect your debt-to-income ratio. And he's going, no. And, you know, the Lord blessed me with health and life and all, and that's I owe him at least that. And I don't know how many Christians would be willing to do that. But, you know, the converse to that is the love of money is the root of all evil, the scripture says. So as much as loving God will bear that fruit, you know, that you're more than happy to give to the ministry of the Lord, not loving God may bear fruit in another area. You know, that love of money may take you and drive you so many people in pursuit of the next high, the next thing that'll make them happy. They're constantly in buy mode. They see somebody pass by in a Jaguar or a jacked up truck or you know, big wheels. And all of a sudden, that's what's going to make me happy. And they will lever themselves. They'll go in and drop the credit card, or they'll go in and sign the note because they want that thing because they think it'll make them happy. And that love of money becomes the root of evil in their life.
Yes. Greg, hang on for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.